Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word I would lay on your hearts today comes from two places in the Psalms. First, Psalm 51, verses 3 to 6. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. The second text is from Psalm 32, verses 3 to 5. When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. So far, the Holy Word. Dear friends in Christ, fellow redeemed, we've noticed a lot of purple tonight, even at the soup supper. A lot of people wearing purple. Purple, as you can see from our altar cloths and the vestments people have worn tonight, purple symbolizes Lent. It symbolizes sorrow and repentance. Lent is a season to remember the gravity of what our Savior accomplished for us. The gravity of our sin, and then the enormity of what the Savior did to pay the price for those sins. The psalmist here today has two texts for us to consider. Sometimes we refer to these psalms as the penitential psalms, because in them King David is certainly confessing his sins. During this Lenten season, we'll be talking about particular different kings. In fact, the Lenten theme is King of Kings, who of course is Jesus Christ. We'll be talking about King David, King Saul, Solomon, Ahab, King Zedekiah, and finally King Herod. Today's text deals with King David. King David of the second king of the nation of Israel. Well, he's the one who took over after King Saul. He's the man who early in his youth went up against Goliath. And the Lord delivered him and Goliath into his hand. King David, very talented individual, was very good in music. He played for King Saul. King David was also a man of war. He knew what he was doing when it came to going into battle. King David is the one who really cleaned up the enemies of Israel during his reign. King David was a very powerful king, and the Lord refers to King David as the apple of my eye. Which, when we read some of the things that David did, should give us great comfort. Now, I know we don't usually come up with a list of us and them when it comes to, oh, look what that person did. Usually, you know, our repentance, which is going to be a main theme of tonight's service, repentance causes you to look inward and to see how serious your own sins are. And what we're going to do is take from King David's Psalms that direction. However, in order to understand why King David was so repentant, we have to understand what he did. King David was involved, first of all, with adultery, another man's wife. The woman was named Bathsheba. King David saw her, should have been out with his troops in battle, but he was lollygagging at the courts in his palace at home. He's up on the roof, and across the way he sees this woman bathing. And he calls for her, finds out she's the wife of one of his soldiers, doesn't matter, commits adultery with her. And Bathsheba becomes pregnant. This is going to be a tough one. He's trying to cover his sin, and really that whole account, take a read of it sometime. It's a perfect example of what happens in, not only what happens in David's life, but ours life too, about how when you try to cover up sin, it just snowballs. David's trying to cover up the sin of adultery led to deception and drunkenness and deceit and finally murder itself when he had his own general cause the death of this innocent soldier and husband of Bathsheba, Uriah. There are many who believe that David's sins went unaccounted for close to a year. What did David do with his faith in that year? What was the condition of his faith? Well, I can tell you, it wasn't very good. However, David does give us an insight in these verses about how he felt and what the consequences, the sin that he felt in his life. He knew he had done wrong, but he still hadn't confessed it to the Lord or to anyone else for just about a year. In Psalm 6, verse 6, David exclaims, "I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears." David knew what it was like to cover up sin and try to keep that from not only people, but think that the Lord wouldn't see it also. His own conscience worked him over good for that entire year. Finally, the Lord saw to it that David wouldn't keep covering up his sins, wouldn't keep this snowball going. So the Lord intervened. And as he often does, he doesn't do it immediately, but he does it mediately through someone else. He sends his prophet, Nathan. The prophet Nathan came to King David while David was still unrepentant of these terrible sins and told him a story. And here it is. From 2 Samuel chapter 12. He tells a story about two men. One is a very rich man with lots of flocks and herds, and the other is a real poor man who only had one little lamb, whom he raised up from the time it was small and would let it eat from his own plate at his own table. And here's what it says, 2 Samuel 12. "But the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him." So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity." Then Nathan said to David, "You are the man." Wow. The intervention of the Lord saved David. David did confess his sins. After his sins were dragged out into the light of God's word and exposed, David, the king, laid bare his soul in repentance. He simply said, "I have sinned against the Lord." The king said this. To lay bare one's soul is to lay aside all self-importance, isn't it? Before God. Doesn't matter if you're the king. Doesn't matter what your position is in life. What honor you have, or riches, or wealth. Before God, all are equal. All are, as David says in this psalm, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." David makes the confession. Later on in Psalm 51, he writes, "I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me." Isn't that the case with us? Notice that he says, "My sins are always before me." He doesn't say they're always before the Lord. Our sins are always before us, aren't they? And the devil would love it if you would keep it that way. Keep referring to those and prove that you can't be a Christian, you can't be going to heaven. Your own flesh tries to convince you that You're a lost cause. How can you be righteous in God's sight? But David acknowledges his transgressions as a sinner who knows what genuine repentance is. The Lord had worked in his heart the law from the prophet Nathan. David was so angry at this man who had taken this little lamb from this poor guy. Instead of from his own abundance, he took this one. Doesn't that show God's anger over sin? Don't forget for one minute that God has righteous wrath over one sin. And when we think of that, we too bow our heads and say, O Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Repentance is really the action of bearing your soul to God, of not withholding anything. And what can you withhold from God? What doesn't He see? Repentance, genuine repentance, is coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, you know everything. You know I've sinned. My sins are always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. The first penitential psalm. He talks about the fact that, and not as an excuse, but the fact that he was inflicted and had the affliction of original sin. He had inherited this sin from his parents, and them from their parents, from their parents before them. You too and I have received this same original sin. The moment of our conception, at our birth, we are born in sin. And it affects us our whole lives long. It's always before us. We come to the Lord during this Lenten season. We come to the King of Kings, repenting of what we've done wrong, knowing that our sins are what caused him to take that road to the cross, the Via Dolorosa. Our sins are the ones that caused him to have his arms stretched out to allow rough soldiers to crucify him on that wooden cross. Our sins caused that blood to be shed, innocent blood. But Jesus didn't do it by force. He did it willingly, out of love for us. And repentance not only is genuine sorrow for sin, but it's also receiving the forgiveness that Christ intended you to have. David knew that too. The soul laid bare can speak of guilt and shame, and it does. Yours does. Mine does. But it speaks of it in the past tense. Let us hear now again David's other penitential psalm, Psalm 32. And as we look at this, tell me, was it written with tears or was it written with joy? When I kept silent, my bones grew old through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was turned into the drought of summer. David could never forget what it was like to be burdened with unresolved guilt. Sin consumed him. For that whole year when he went unrepentant, how many times did it flash back to him, this picture of Uriah in his last moments of life? This picture of succumbing to the sin of temptation, of adultery. How many times? How did that cause his new marriage with Bathsheba? How did that affect things in his life? How did his resistance to repentance affect his ruler as the king of Israel? No doubt David had a pile of sins to confess, just like we do. But David speaks of them also in the past tense. Did you notice the past tense of verse 5? I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. David spoke of his sins in the past tense. I acknowledged my transgressions. I did confess them. And you forgave the iniquity of my sins. We need to remind ourselves too, when the Lord grants us forgiveness through His Word, through the the called servant that you've called to be, to bring this pronouncement of the gospel to you every Sunday, that when you have this pronouncement of the gospel, that your sins are forgiven, that it is true and genuine and binding, and there is no sin left over. They're in the past. So when David wrote this psalm, was it in with tears or with joy? Well, I believe it was both. Probably tears of great joy, just as you and I have, for knowing that our Lord has given us such great forgiveness in His Son, Jesus Christ. The whole plan of salvation, the whole road to the cross, the whole Lenten season, as we concentrate on His passion, His suffering and death in our behalf, it's all there for our benefit, to remind us of what our Savior did for us. Repentance truly is the soul laid bare. The repentant believer can take comfort in the cross of the King of Kings, because in that cross we have life now and forever. And the truth of that is, by faith, the best way to start the Lenten season. Amen.